Hey there, guys. I'm Callan McAuliffe, and you're listening to the Walking Dead Talk Through on Golden Spiral Media.
That's awesome. Thank you.
The Walking Dead Talk Through, Episode 90, Evolution Review.
Welcome to The Walking Dead Talk Through, a fan podcast dedicated to The Walking Dead on AMC. Join us each week as we discuss the characters, story developments, and theories of The Walking Dead. Send in your thoughts about each episode by calling 304-837-2278. Or by visiting our feedback page at goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback. And now, here's your hosts.
Hey, survivors, and welcome to another fine episode of The Walking Dead Talk Through. I'm Brian.
And I'm Mark.
And tonight, we are here to discuss Season 9, Episode 8, which is titled Evolution. But before we get started in full, we have a few things from the last episode, starting with Errata. And first is from Lara, who you'll hear from a lot tonight. She says, "I have an errata for you, and I am not surprised, Lara, that you got back to me with this one, because I realized it as I was listening to it while I was editing last week. I said, uh-oh, I got this wrong." But she says, "I have an errata for you. I don't really like 80s and 90s pop music. I like 80s and 90s alternative music. Though I actually did like that song played in the last episode. Thought it was a good song. It just felt weird in its placement on the show. I got to give you a hard time, Brian. Can't have people thinking I'm a pop music fan." Couldn't even name the songs of very many 80s and 90s pop bands, unless it was Madonna, Prince, or Michael Jackson. And like I said, I was listening to it and I'm like, pop? That's obviously wrong. I knew that, Lara, you loved alternative music, and somehow, or, you know, you could even maybe call it new wave music, in some cases, but I knew alternative music, and I'm like, pop music? No. I've never heard Lara listen to like Lisa and Cult Jam or something like that. So, or what have you. So, I knew that was wrong, but anyway, I always thought that was such a goofy name, Lisa and Cult Jam. And I have something I missed from last week, and I don't know how I missed it, but, I didn't include it last week. That was what I would call a borderline week or what sauce. And I said, I missed commenting about the ability of the slingshot to be able to not only kill a walker, or as they call them, sicko, but to be able to go through its head. The most powerful slingshot I could find on the web reaches speeds of 141 miles an hour with a 1-inch projectile. And I thought to myself, okay, maybe if they've been walker shambling around for 10 years, maybe it would go through like, you know, Swiss cheese, but I don't think it could actually do that kind of damage. Like kill someone, maybe if you know, cause we've heard people, you know, dying from like getting, say, a baseball to the head or something like that. You know, if you hit them it just such a way or the right spot, yes, I could kill them. But I thought it was kind of crazy for them to actually go through a walker's head, like literally in one side out the other. But I don't know. I could be wrong. It just seemed a little out there to me. That's why I put it borderline weak or what sauce. So, and we got some Twitter feedback from Ken from Chicago from last time. He says, I love Diana's theory for while Michonne and Maggie would be estranged. Way to go. Yes. And in fact, I didn't get to listen to your entire episode tonight before we started recording, but I will say, Diana, that you and I, and for that matter, Steve, are in 100% agreement, I think, of what I heard of you say. But yeah, your theory last week, I think you nailed it. So I give you another double shout out. All right. So this week, Evolution, episode 8, written by the Mouthful, also known as David Leslie Johnson McGoldrick. And I still haven't figured out why he added McGoldrick to his name. I haven't found any explanation. But anyway, directed by co-executive producer on Fear the Walking Dead, a longtime director of The Walking Dead, Michael E. Satrasibis. So, going into our ratings, Mark, what did you think of Evolution?
Well, I gave it 9.5 out of 10 stabbing whisperers.
And I did not like it as much as you did. I'm going to have to give this one an 8, actually. And I'll give it an 8 Jesus's God to Heaven. All right. What else do we have from our listeners?
Well, Steve gives it 9.5 out of 10. Bad guard. Makes sense in my weak sauce, according to Steve.
Yeah, I know what he's talking about.
Same here.
Faith gives it 8.5 out of 10 drunken zombie kills.
Dieta says, I rate this 8 out of 10. Jesus, why? And we all ask that question.
Why? Glynis gives it 9 out of 10, Walker Fate.
Lara says 9.5 out of 10, bottles of cheap moonshine fueled teen parties. And it seems like that horror cliche still keeps going even in The Walking Dead.
It does. All right, now time for Awesome Sauce. Awesome Sauce! All right. Mark, what you got?
Faith says, Jesus, badass fight moves. I do love to watch him fight, or just walk around, or just sit and contemplate life. I may have a slight thing for Tom Payne.
It's those dreamy blue eyes.
And that wavy hair.
Yeah. Steve says, Magda mentioning that an archer would be on the wall just before she appears.
Dieta says, the spooky fight in the cemetery with the fog, thunder, and the moans of the dead, and of course, the whisperers. I do agree.
Glynis has 3. She says, Daryl and Dog are just great together. And I won't play the commercial. But I did get some feedback from people. One person I didn't realize was from the Detroit area. And of course, Joshua, he remembered it. And of course, I knew Deanna would remember it. But yeah, that commercial played for so long. I think it was actually, I want to say 25 years that one commercial played every day for, you know. Anyway, me and Dog. continues. She says, the way the whisperers were introduced and revealed was really excellent. The mystery surrounding what the hell was going on with that walker herd, quote unquote, evolving, wasn't too drawn out too, which I'm glad of. And lastly, the way Michonne and Magnus group pitched up to help out Aaron, Daryl, and Jesus with Eugene, which leads to the sad sauce. Well, we'll get to that in a minute. But yeah, I like that too. It was kind of unexpected for me. I wasn't expecting them to just pop up like that. It was just Magda and Yumiko, right? It wasn't the rest of them.
Yeah, definitely just Magda and Yumiko. Yeah.
All right.
So Lara says, the podcast intro blurb from Callan McAuliffe, I never cared that much about Alden, but after hearing the actor's real lovely Scottish/Aussie accent at Walker Stalker Con, I could listen to that soundbite over and over. And yeah, it's weird because it's kind of like an Irish/Aussie accent. And I think he mentioned that he had family and he was raised it's kind of a mix. He was very interesting to talk to.
Yeah, I bet. He hasn't been on Talking Dead yet, right?
No. But she continues on and says, I love the classic horror movie elements of this episode. The mist, the walkers, the cemetery. It made the walkers feel threatening again, and obviously they were. Then Daryl pulling the walker's Leatherface mask. Loved it. And even though I'm so brokenhearted over the death of Jesus, Tom Payne's final performance as our favorite ninja zombie hunter was badass. And one of the best solo fight scenes on the show ever. And I have to agree. That was taken straight out of the comic book and the way that Jesus actually fights. And it took them so long to choreograph and get him to do something like that. And honestly, it sucks just seeing that. It's like, wait, this is, we finally get to see it and they take him away from us. Ugh.
Yeah. Yeah. And, I have more to say on that, later. Cause I agree. Our awesome sauce, Mark, what do you have?
Well, I had to agree with you with Magda and Yumiko coming to aid Michonne with, getting Eugene, Aaron, and Jesus, sadly, rest in peace, Jesus, at the cemetery.
Oh, you mean, we're so sorry to see Jesus go. But Jesus is now in heaven.
My question is, will he rise up again?
Indeed.
Yeah, come on, man. Had to throw that one in there. What were you going to say?
I had wondered if he would rise again in 3 days. But there's no Walking Dead episode next week, so we know. But it would be kind of funny if, like, tomorrow they just, like, show release some YouTube thing with Jesus kind of just getting up all of a sudden. Anyway.
Yeah. I have a couple others. The show getting back to its horror roots, pretty much what everybody else had said before, as a zombie-style film and making the walkers problem to be dealt with. I mentioned this before, but now that the Whisperers are known and what they are a new enemy to be reckoned with. That coming from the comic book into the show, but I'm starting to see something a little bit more menacing, and seeing it on the actual screen now brings it a little bit more realism, which is, I think, is very awesome. More Zeds. I like when I see more of the walkers on the screen. I'm sorry. They're bringing that true horror element. They are becoming not just an annoyance and something they could pick off easily, but now with the Whispers being able to turn them and move them, as we saw Daryl see them do with the dog.
Yeah.
And, you know, it brings me back to the beginning when they were a menace. Now that they're being used as a weapon by another group, and it's really cool.
Scary. Very scary. Yeah, and I didn't fully appreciate this until my last watch of this, and I paid more attention to like exactly what Daryl was trying to do to get them diverted. And they basically just completely ignored the firecrackers that he lit up. They just kept going. And we know that that would normally happen. So anyway, yeah, much of what other people said, I also agreed with. The one thing that wasn't said that I had to outline was the dart on the head of the Hilltop Kids Walker. Mm-hmm. Was a nice little touch. I guess a dart to the head is not enough head trauma to kill a walker. It was interesting.
Yeah, well,
I had wondered that.
It proved a point in Shaun of the Dead.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. It's like, hold on. And she's throwing darts, and it's not doing anything. So, obviously, it translates into the show as well.
All right. Now for the week variety.
You're worthless and weak.
So, Steve says, I can get Father Gabriel forgetting to lock the door, maybe, if he was by himself. He was not, though. The other guard, whoever was there with him visiting Negan, should have noticed.
Guard, or for that matter, Gabriel, all you had to do was check the gate.
And you blew it! You blew it! You blew it!
You blew it! You had it all and you blew it!
I rewatched that, and I don't know if it was Gabriel's fault or the guard's fault, but come on. And for that matter, isn't there an outside gate, too? At least there used to be.
Yeah, I think so, leading up.
Yeah. Yeah. Which makes me wonder, was this negligence or a deliberate act? It should be.
It's a trap.
But I guess it wasn't. Faith says, this will sound awful, but I'm disappointed that none of the teenagers got hurt while out being stupid. Yeah, I have something to say about that, actually, and I guess I'll say it now. I thought that it was kind of too reminiscent of in season 3 of Fear. There was that one thing with Alicia where she met the Brokejaw Ranch people, and they even had a walker play toy, but he was just a head.
Yeah.
You know, but it reminded me of that. It reminded me of also a couple of things from season 5, episode 12, which is Remember, specifically, and I think you had mentioned it too in your notes about the, was it Rod and the other kids from Alexandria meeting up with Carl?
Yep.
But in that very same episode, when we see Aiden and Nicholas kind of like toying with that one walker, it was very, very similar to that.
Yep.
And I had to think to myself, that kid used cats. He was trying to use cats as bait.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do, kid? Are you going to start being a zombie apocalypse serial killer?
Well, get catnip.
Ooh, catnip.
Know what it is.
Oops. Catnip.
You know what it is.
Since I played that accidentally, I'm trying tonight not to edit a darn thing. I want to experiment with that, so I'll leave in all the crap. So anyway, if we sound more rambling or whatever, tough. You'll have to get used to this.
Fun.
You'll have to get used to this because I projected to see how next the next half is going to be, and we are going to have a nice Star Trek sandwich. The next half season is going to be, and we assume Fear will probably premiere right after it. So it's all going to be mixed up. So I have to be faster. That is the only thing I can do. Be faster. So anyway, so that means you get every crazy thing that we say, bad, good, or otherwise. So anyway, what else do we have?
We'll continue.
Yes.
Well, Dieta says, Henry gets drunk off of one baby sip of moonshine? You know, embarrassed face, then pukes up on Tara's boots that must have been some hell of a moonshine.
Well, I imagine that we only saw the one drink, but I remember when I was a similar age to Henry, I was at a party and they had Croatian moonshine. And oh my goodness, that messed me up real good. So it doesn't take much. I can sympathize, but I imagine that he got a few other sips off camera. Yeah. So next is from Lara. She says, the hilltop teen gang with the three teens hanging out on the fence. Why, by the way, are these kids not working? In an agrarian society, everyone works, and teenagers don't have time to lollygag around. And they invite Henry to hang out with them. I really believe that the show would avoid the TV trope of showing teenagers as angsty, spoiled a-holes. But no, they turn out to be angsty, spoiled a-holes. I know not all teenagers are like that. I actually met more friendly, happy teenagers than the ones they like to put on TV. I do, however, like Henry. It looks like Carol and the King raised him right and put him on the straight and narrow after being kind of murdery there for a minute. yeah, because, well, I believe Gavin would say,
you know what it is.
Potential weak sauce, she says, with the death of Jesus. Is Tara really going to be the default leader of Hilltop? Please say no. I know Tara has fans, but I have never found that character to be interesting or even very funny. Please, Henry would be a better leader than Tara. Hopefully, it'll go to a vote and Hilltoppers will say, Tara? Really? I guess we'll find out next episode.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, Glynis says, why couldn't we still have had Carl instead of Henry playing out his Hilltop story arc? Grrr! Just still seems so pointless not having Carl. So as a result, Henry, Carl 2.0, is all positioned nicely for the next few episodes sitting in Hilltop jail. With that suspected story arc coming up. So in a little while, he may not feel so bad about having his intentions with Enid thwarted by Alden. Love in the Apocalypse sure is thriving.
Yeah, I guess Earl can't go to Jesus for him being lenient because Jesus is God. I'm going to play that so many times, I figure I will play it every single time. Mark, what do you have for weak sauce?
Well, the only thing I found weak was really Henry and the walker with the kids when they were drunk. Something was lacking in that story for me. Not sure what it was, but I was disappointed with it.
Well, how about it being unnecessary?
Yeah.
And for that matter, taking away from the good story, like the scenes with the action scenes were really good. We didn't need to have the angsty teen drama. I know that they want to introduce the character to us, but to me, I didn't feel like it was really necessary here. That's why I say to Diana, I didn't get to listen to your whole episode, but of what I listened to it, I was like, you are in my mind, girl. So I'm telling you, I had a lot of the same reactions that you had. I'll tell you my reaction to this. I am feeling a little bit of Fear season 4 style manipulation around here with the story elements that they are deliberately withholding from us the last three episodes. I'm not a fan of this storytelling technique. I think I've demonstrated that already. Specifically, though, what I'm talking about is this whole rift between Michonne and everyone else, it seems. Like, even Tara and Carol, And I even noticed it with Eden. She obviously had some good feelings with Sadiq, but she kind of like gave a, you know, like a huh to Michonne when she saw her. So, like, I don't know what happened there, but I think that the world and Michonne are not on speaking terms, it seems. Like, the whole conversation with Carol seemed to be strained. And I, okay, so we know something happened. Don't make us wait like 2 or 3 months to find out what that is. Just tell us. But here we're going to be sitting around wondering about it, and we probably won't get enough detail when that comes in February. You know, it just, I'm not a fan of this kind of manipulation, and it just seems to manipulate us for manipulation's sake. There's no real reason why they're holding this back. In fact, it would have been better if they had shown that this episode and not spent so much time with the angsty teens. Because I agree with you, Lara, on that, and, you know, showing all that. It's like, I don't need to see that. And it actually detracted from the rest of the episode, which was good. But you combine the angsty teen with this stupid stuff that they keep, you know, hinting at, but they don't actually tell us. And it's just annoying. I was thinking about this on the way home, and I remember, of course, what I call my new favorite show on TV right now, which is Star Trek Discovery. Yeah, we know. You've heard me say this many times now. But there were some mysteries on that in the first season of Star Trek Discovery. I will not tell you what they are, but they are hinted at all the way through. Like, and some of it you're kind of going, huh, that doesn't seem right. But you get little hints of things as you're going. And some of the things that turn out to be the case, when it's finally revealed, you're kind of go, aha, I knew it. And then even with some of the clues on some of the other things, when you finally get the reveal, you're floored. So to me, that's how you do it. They're hinting that something is wrong, but they don't give you any indication of what it was. If I want to, you know, armchair quarterback it here or prognosticate, what I think is that, you know, something bad happened maybe at Hilltop or at, and I noticed this. Did you notice they don't call it the Kingdom anymore? They just call it Kingdom? When did that happen?
Yes. Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah, so something happened at Kingdom. Maybe they were out, and there's some letter from Ezekiel, and Michonne just went, nope, can't give you anything. And whatever it was something like this, but I tend to think it was more like maybe not one thing, but like a whole string of things that Michonne just kind of put her nose up in the air to or just denied. And like, it's funny, like, she says to Carol that they're still family, but obviously the family is strained. So, anyway, I don't like that they're doing it this way. They should have just explained it this episode and not made us wait 2.5 months to get an explanation. Other thing that I kind of have alluded to this, and I really don't know what could have been done. Maybe they could have put some kind of twist in how the Whisperers are, like maybe add something new or take away something. But I mean, we've known that the Whisperers were a thing forever, and it was to me kind of anticlimactic when they were revealed.
Yeah.
And I feel kind of cheated out of getting that shocking plot twist, because I imagine, Mark, when you know, read the comic book, when it's revealed what the Whisperers truly are, like, you're first of all, you're seeing these zombies whispering and talking, and you're like, oh my God, is it actually happening? Or you're thinking, oh, come on, Kirkman, you're not day by share Kirkman.
No, I thought it was a sham. I was like, I was like, there's no way that these things could be talking. It's got to be like, oh, somebody wants to be like Leatherface and walk around with dead skin on their face. And that's the one thing that came to my mind, and it was, and I'm like, okay, that makes sense, because you know, they've worn guts, they've done these things, so it's an easy way to mask them. But when we found out that they were manipulating them, that was a different thing.
Yeah.
So it wasn't a complete shock. It was just like, well, oh, okay.
Well, anyway, I kind of feel cheated out of something better. And it's not, you know, I think now that the whole thing's been revealed, I think it's going to be pretty interesting. But it's just, you know, it's unfortunate that we got to know that they were coming. You know, maybe they could have, I don't know, done some kind of like, you know, misinformation kind of thing. Like, took it like Steve Jobs. Oh, we're never going to make a phone. And then surprise, iPhone, you know, something to throw us off the scent, you know, but instead you knew it was coming. So,
well, almost like the Game of Thrones thing, too, because a lot of people have read the books. They already knew about the White Walkers. They knew right. about these things. So the original story point and, you know, is still out there. So everybody else is talking about it who read comics. People who are actually watching the show are reading the comics. So it's something that's out there. And with social media the way it is, it's going to get out there. So everybody knows. So it was one of those things where, okay, we'll just do this. So it's exciting. We'll do like very much with the exposure to Eugene and Rosita at that one scene when you see them putting the mud on their face and trying to get away. And they're down on that ravine area and they're just covering themselves and they hear the whispers talking. It's straight out of the comic book. So it kind of just gave that feel of, okay, we're reminiscing this. So now we're just going to keep playing that aspect. But I have a funny feeling something is going to change. It's not going to be like the comic and what happens. And it's going to be different characters that we're going to see later on that are interacted with the Whisperers. And there's going to be a little bit of a plot change in some way. And I'll go into that in my later notes.
I hope you're right.
I hope so.
All right. Now it's time for sad or aw sauce. And there are examples of both.
Aww.
So Dieta says, Enid all grown up now kissing on the ex-Xavier. With like lovingly smiley face. I do like the fact that Enid found somebody and you know, with Alden and everything. I thought it was pretty cool.
And I'm actually appreciative that it wasn't Henry. Cuz I'm sorry, there's a little, well, at least I guess in real life, you know, what is Caitlin Nacon? Maybe 19, 20?
About 20.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess, you know, 3 years, that's not too much of a stretch. But, you know, I think she's actually playing a little older right now. So I think it would have been kind of ew, at least from a current age perspective, you know, like.
Yeah.
You know, 16 or 17 versus, you know, 23 or 24 or whatever. But
I would say she was probably about maybe 21, 22.
Maybe. Okay. Well, still, I don't know. I think it reminded me, it's kind of funny, and I'm not an aficionado of this, but I know that Christian Siratos played a nerd in the Twilight movies. And, you know, she had the nerdy glasses. And, of course, you know, you take off those nerdy glasses and you get Rosita. So I wonder if Addie will be really cute when she takes off her nerdy glasses, which are really nerdy looking, by the way. They are very old school looking. Glynis, she says, we got to watch Jesus' ninja skills in action. but it was so bittersweet, as it was so short and sweet before we lost Jesus. Before he could really shine as the character, he would have portrayed as long before this. I know Tom Payne also said he was frustrated with being so underutilized on Talking Dead. Yeah, like he didn't go too much into it unless he did later in the Talking Dead. I don't know, but I know in interviews and that. I mean, could you really see him being anything else but frustrated? Because unfortunately, like many characters, I think with the big ensemble cast, they just don't get enough screen time. And, you know, from what I know about the character, he just did not get the kind of like feature that a lot of characters get on this show.
Yeah.
He was more of a featured character in the comic book than he was on the show, right?
He still is a featured character, and he's still strong, just like Carl and Rick is in the comics. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
I think he was stolen by Daryl. Like, it seems like many, many characters don't get the full feature that, well, you know.
Think about it. Daryl and Carol.
Oh, that's
Carol's
true.
Carol's not even in the comic. She's been long gone. And Daryl is not even in the comics. So,
right.
You know, those are just two characters that are taking up full time with their contracts. But I'm not saying they're bad for the show, but they are a solid focus for a lot of fans. And they are a lot of solid focus for the story at this point.
Yeah. All right. So,
Laura says, first, it's sad to see the characters who were so tight and practically family in these communities, which had a thriving trade system going on at the beginning of the season, so torn apart and fractured. I hope the story behind this is a good one, but not right now. It's just a bit depressing to see, which I do feel the same way. I really don't want to see these people pulled apart from something that we don't even know, but Angela Kang is apparently hinting at we will see something in the second half of what happened years before. So I'm hoping for a kind of time warp where we go back and they shot scenes from like maybe 3 or 4 years previous of what had happened and what tore these communities apart, which caused friction between, you know, Michonne and Maggie and why Maggie left. And, you know, maybe we do get that one episode of Maggie and why she leaves and we get an answer for that. I'm really looking forward to something where it just opens it up, and I'll go further into that in my other notes.
Yeah, opens it up in an X.
Yeah. I have an idea, but we'll go on that.
All right. I don't think any kidney transplants were going on.
Yeah, or bullet holes. She continues on saying, secondly, I am so, so, so heartbroken over the loss of Jesus. This death was almost as shocking and terrible for me as Nick's death for Fear of the Walking Dead. That was also an amazing episode that ended in a death that was just sucked the life out of me. But I'm bummed that Jesus had so much untapped potential. We never even got to see any backstory on Jesus. And just when his character breaks out as a true leader, warrior, and ninja badass, they kill him off! Yep. I was so looking forward to Jesus / Aaron's ship, meaning relationship. And that ship has just sunk before it even departed. And I wholeheartedly agree. I was looking forward to something like that myself.
Yeah, so in a similar way, what do you have for Sad Sauce?
Sad Sauce, I have said. And you beat me to it.
I know.
Yes, I'm sad to see Jesus go. And not Eugene.
Ooh.
And I have to give that one out. And I had to agree with Kristen Howell from House Podcastica because she corrected me and I said, yes, that would have been the perfect one to go. But they had to take out the leader, which stinks. But Jesus's fate was made when he stated, I got this.
Yeah.
To Aaron. Jesus has been a little laid back with his duties as a leader and wanted to be more out in the field. That was how I figured out his demise so easily. A bit of hope always leads to a death in some way. And it showed that he had the gumption. He wanted to do something. He was going to be there almost like trying to be like the Rick character, but with this unknown foe, they had to make some sort of impact. So they took out the strongest and these people know, and they're watching, they're observing. So they saw how he was taking out every walker and protecting everybody. So the one thing they did was just take out this person. And that's how I surmised it from all the previews, because I see him kicking ass. He's like slashing, you know, walkers' heads, gutting them, crushing them with his boot on tombstones. And I'm like, wait, no, that just shows me that he's going to go too soon. And that's how I derived it from, is from all the previews, because we were getting all that information. And it's really sad, you know. Now we're stuck with Eugene.
Yeah. Well, to that, I have to say, I must give you, because I did not see this coming. And when you said this, I don't know how much you said this, like, on the last podcast. I think it was actually in something that you posted on the Facebook group. But I was like, what? There were some things in there. I'm like, did he like miss see something? Like, because I think you said something about like going out to get Rosita or something like that. Well, and I'm like, doesn't he realize that Rosita's in at Hilltop? But then you said, I'm like, no, it can't kill Jesus. How could they kill Jesus? But to that, I say, Jesus has gone to heaven. Okay, I'll shut up.
Well, hopefully nobody wears his skin as a whisper.
Oh, God. That would be kind of creepy, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would. Let's continue on, because I don't want to go even more creepier. I was also sad about Father Gabriel. His love for Rosita showed his weakness to Negan before Negan got out of the prison.
That's not true. That's impossible.
That's the thing I'm wondering is, was it deliberate, or like, did he just say, you know, screw you, Negan, and let him go? Or was he just his usual incompetent self? I take it the latter, but
yeah, I think he just left it open for him, because at that point he was just done.
Yeah.
Because he tried and tried to dig deep into the man. And he said, I guess he felt that he couldn't work it out with him. So he felt that Negan needed to go, because he's becoming a burden to these people in Alexandria.
Yeah. So, and we had speculated about this, like, in the comic book, Negan gets out, but he doesn't go anywhere, right?
He leaves Alexandria and he moves on.
Well, eventually.
Yeah. And he just mopes around and happens upon these people that we don't want to talk about.
Okay. And you never know. Maybe that is going to happen in the end, but
I think that's a big possibility of what happens eventually, but I don't see that happening until next season.
He'll be like, oh, hey, I could make a good zombie, or whatever I don't know what the whisperers call them.
Well, there was actually an issue based upon that.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was interesting and pretty funny to watch, too. But
yeah, so, you know, we'll see. But okay, so I already said I was going to be sad about Jesus going to heaven, so I won't play that again. But I am sad because this also means that I'm going to have to say goodbye to the Jesus jingle. And I think that this may be my favorite jingle of all the things, because I literally spent, I would say, a season looking for something to play that was worthy of Jesus. So anyway, so, you know, I imagine that occasionally I'll still play this, especially, you know, maybe the next episode or two when people are mourning the loss of Jesus. But with Jesus going to heaven, people are going to need to replace Jesus with what? I don't know, but that's kind of like Lara said, are they going to replace Jesus with Tara? I don't know. I don't know. I like Tara the character, but you know, she also, she does seem more fitting to
lead.
She's like a good number two. Like she's a good chief operational officer, but I don't know if I would use her for someone to inspire the group. You know, so she could run things, but I don't know what kind of leader she is.
She's a Riker.
Yeah, well, there you go. Yeah, Riker. He never wanted to step up to the chair. He just wanted to step over the chair. anyway, the Riker maneuver. So, and I said that we had examples of awe being sad and awe being awe.
Aww.
Aww. Henry's so thoughtful. He got an advance on his pay with nails and screws for Carol to take home. And that made Carol cry. So she has raised a good Henry. You know, and it's kind of funny. You know, there was some talk about this. But, you know, it's funny how with Sophia, you know, that was played by his sister. That, you know, young Henry was played by his brother. Now, older Henry's played by him. It's a whole Lids thing. And apparently they knew Melissa McBride before the show ever got off. So it's kind of like all in the family, so to speak, I guess. But yeah.
Walking Dead nepotism.
And it's funny because the way that it was explained, I guess, on Talking Dead, it sounds like there really wasn't any kind of like master stroke about casting here. It just kind of all fit, but it's like you never really thought of this ahead of time. I don't know. I have to think that they must have, but it sounds like they did. I could just imagine. You know, it's like I hate to say, but Connie and what's the other character's name? Hmm. Connie and I know the actress that plays her, Angel, is her name.
I can't remember.
Oh, I'm blanking. Anyway, it's Connie right there. And that character, they don't look like brother and sister to
me. Yeah.
And you know, we see this so often. Like the Brady Bunch, you know, for example, the Bradys, you know, the sister Bradys and the brother Bradys don't look like each other. I mean, okay, the brother and sister is not supposed to, but you know what I mean? The brothers don't look like each other and the sisters don't look like each other. And that is so true on sitcoms and whatnot. But anyway, it is kind of funny when they actually make things look similar. When you'd get like a you know, you could have gotten an older Henry that looked nothing like young Henry. But this actually worked out. So anyway, let's move on. I'm rambling, and I'm not taking a single line of it out. What sauce?
What?
So Steve says, why was the Kingdom Archer there in the first place? She says she talked to Tara about going back to the Kingdom.
Well, we had seen her sticking close to Maggie before. So, like, she, for example, she went with Maggie to Alexandria. That's, of course, Diane is her name. But we have to assume that she stayed at Hilltop after the war, and she even changed her armor to Hilltop armor. And, you know, she didn't have the Kingdom garb anymore. She, you know, was looking like a regular Hilltopper. But yeah, I wasn't really surprised about that. But I guess what was it that made her realize that the Kingdom needed her? Sorry, that Kingdom needed her. I don't know. Dieta, she has one. She says, Jesus' death, which was totally uncalled for what happened to his body armor, might as well, and she says, shrugging woman, might as well had nothing on, and Henry needs to hurry up and learn that blacksmith so he can make the Kingdom some real body armor.
Glenna says, Jesus! We lost Jesus!
And we all feel the same way.
Yes.
Our what sauce?
Yeah, our what sauce. What do you have?
What is with Negan just getting out? I know this happens in the comics, but this is a mystery to me based upon what we don't know who did it. You know, it's like,
yeah.
Yeah, it's, I know who did it in the comic, but who did
yes.
it in the show?
It was Olivia, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, I guess the fact that, you know, he kind of just slams the gate, but he didn't like actually normally you
lock it,
or at least you make sure it locked into position. But stupid guard, he didn't even check it. Like, he just unchained Negan and didn't check it. So, I don't know. Both those guys, they were not so good. So, what else?
Oh, the next one. Nobody has spoken about this in anything. Awesome sauce or what sauce on their end or whatever, but RJ is real. Carol talks to Michonne about RJ. That makes him real in this world. I will look forward to hearing more about him. I want to see more of RJ and to find out the story of what happened before and how he came to be. Well, obviously we know how he came to be. But regardless, I want to see how he came into this world in some way. You know, he's got to be something big in the show.
Yeah, I think both of us kind of listened to another podcast, and they went off the rails about RJ, and we just kind of took the bait. But we should have known when Magnus saw RJ that RJ was real. Of course, we may find out that RJ is dead.
That's not true. That's impossible.
Well, let's hope so, that's impossible.
Yeah.
Henry, your mom only asked you to stay out of trouble.
And you blew it! You blew it! You blew it!
You blew it! You had it all and you blew it!
Indeed. In fact, you almost completely blew it. You know, because Earl was going to send you packing. All right. So, and I already mentioned about the serial killer cat as bait kind of thing. I didn't appreciate that. So it really makes you wonder, though, like, at, you know, there were the one guy. Was it the same guy that was taking a leak on the walker?
No, I think it was the other guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, but those troubled teens. I agree, though, with Laura, you know, just to show those lazy teens. And, like, you know, who's letting them get away with that, too? They shouldn't get away with just, like, doing nothing like that. They should all have lots of chores to do and be very busy, you know, because they're literally sitting around. Like, okay, they went out afterwards. That's fine, I guess. But, like, during daylight, they didn't have other things to do other than just sit around being annoying teens. That's too much to me. All right. Well, anyway, now it's time for our feedback.
We can talk about it.
We're done talking. Time to listen.
And, Steve, thank you yet again. Or should I say, I'll give you a preemptive showcase award, but here's your actual voicemail.
Hello, Walking Dead Talk Through. This is Steve, and just got a couple thoughts about tonight's episode, this evolution mid-season finale. I think Rick and Carl were kind of the glue that was holding this group together, the non-blood family group together. And when they were gone, there was no one to kind of force people to get past their differences and problems. And I think we saw that previously, that when there were differences and stuff, they would get past it because Rick and Carl would kind of force them to, and without their presence, they weren't able to do that. So even though Michonne makes that statement that they're still family, she also admits that there's a distance between them. So I think that's what's going on here. And I don't know the specific details, obviously. We'll find those out later. I loved Tom Paine's comments about how Jesus was introduced by the first time we see the Saviors, and that his exit is the first time we see the Whisperers. And if you, I don't know if you guys are going to discuss it, you probably will. There's an article that talks about that Tom Paine mentioned the fact that he was not happy with the way Jesus was being used. And so it's almost like he didn't feel bad that he was dropped from the show. We got a quick glimpse. I don't know if you noticed or not, a quick glimpse of C. Thomas Howell in the background when they're at Alexandria. So I don't know if maybe we'll see him again in the future, in the back half. I hope so. I like that actor. It would be nice to see him get out and do some more with this cast. The last thing I have is that you could definitely see that Addie was not into the whole taunting the Walker thing, because she leaves before Henry even falls in the pit to take the Walker out. So can't wait to hear what you guys thought. And I'm looking forward to the next half. I hate the fact that we lost this major character, Jesus, but they weren't using him to his full potential. So it's kind of like the actor was ready to move on. Talk to you later.
So I wonder if it was Rick and Carl holding them together or just Rick. Because I had more of a, it was almost like Carl was the one that was holding Rick together and Rick holding everyone else together. So to me, and we don't know, obviously, I don't think it was just that one thing. I mean, what Diana said about last week about, if Michonne found out about, you know, the acts of Maggie and Daryl, she would have flipped out. But obviously some more happened probably after that. But I don't know. It's like it's like everyone's against Michonne at this point. even the people in Alexandria seem to be kind of fed up with her, because they seem to all realize that we need to stick together. And Michonne is just, you know, the one that is standing against everything and kind of making sure that Alexandria sits apart, you know. It's just I don't know. But they better explain that, and they better not wait a couple of episodes. I don't want this to turn into a whole thing where, you know, we're talking about episode 12. We still don't know. Explain it next episode and get on with it. You know, I hope that you're right, that we do get some kind of flashback, but I want this over with. I am a little annoyed, and my rating on this episode fits that. Like, I think I'm getting a little bit of, no pun intended here, but a feedback loop going on. And this is kind of how I felt with in season 4A of Fear, you know, and you know, I didn't get to participate on the episodes from episode 7 and 8, but you know, that's kind of, I know by episode 6, the last one that I did, at that point I was getting really annoyed, and I'm not quite at that point, but I am annoyed. So I would say to Angela Kang, I really hope that you're going to finally answer these questions in episode 9 and not draw it out anymore. Don't gimple the show. I would agree with you, and I guess also Tom Payne, in the assessment that Jesus was an underutilized character. And I have to say that, you know, a lot of people seem to have taken his death pretty hard, but I have to say I didn't feel it. That I think has to do with me just not building a bond with I never had a bond with Jesus. Anyway, but seriously, I never built that bond with the Jesus character, because they would show him, and then, you know, I remember last season, for example, like how many episodes did we go without Jesus showing up? Like, the only time we really saw Jesus was when he was fighting with Morgan, you know, and he went like a lot of episodes, especially in the back half, without even seeing Jesus.
Mm.
So he always seemed to be used too sparingly, and I think his character was the victim, like many characters, the victim of Daryl. Because, like, we've seen this with Dwight. I think Dwight got taken off the show because of Daryl's character. Like, we couldn't have a Dwight and a Daryl. Abraham, I don't think, was utilized to the same extent that, from what I know, that he was in the comic book. And I'd even say Aaron was, up until this point, not utilized as much because of Daryl. Like, it's like, you know, the show made Norman Reedus a star, and it's like everyone, all the characters kind of suffered as a result. And like you said, Carol too, but anyway, that's my take on it. I did notice see Thomas Howell in the background. Mark, did you?
No,
I didn't either. And I also mentioned about the Addie character. I just imagine that she'll have her glasses off, and Henry will see her, and he'll just kind of melt. It'd be like, ah, Addie, you've been there all this time. Yeah, whatever. All right, so as usual, Steve, thank you so much. I already gave you the Showcase Award, so I won't give it again, but... All right, let's get to the next one.
Well, Todd says, so if the back half of season 9 will pick up in February 2019, we can say in 3 months Jesus will rise?
Or should I say, Jesus will rise in 3 months? Oh, that would be 3 months as opposed to 3 days.
And not as a walker, but somehow they need to fix him. Also, what's with the super creepy location straight out of Scooby-Doo? Yoinks!
In fact, I saw some memes that had them pull off the walker face from the Whisperers, and it looked like a character from Scooby-Doo. I would have gotten away with it too if it wasn't for you meddling kids. Yep.
Yeah.
Zoinks. Rot-row. That's what I'll say. Like Scooby-Doo. Rot-row. Faith is next. She says in caps, I have to know what went down with Michonne and everyone else. Okay, sorry. Just needed to get that out. I mean, if the writers wanted me to stick around after Rick, Maggie, and now Jesus are gone, then they've got me. I have to know why they're so divided. The episode overall wasn't bad, but they've definitely had better mid-season finales. I would agree with that wholeheartedly. I completely forgot that someone was going to die until the foggy fight scene. I didn't want it to be Jesus. I still don't want it to be Jesus, but maybe Todd's right and he'll be totally fine. Right? He'll be fine. No, I don't think so. I don't think so. Not after that Talking Dead. For about 5 seconds, I actually thought Negan was going to grab the ball and go back in the cell. I also wanted that so he could take advantage of his honesty later. But then I realized that quietly walking away is so very Negan. He's been in that cell for a long time, and it should be fun to see what he'll do as long as he doesn't start monologuing again. And leaning back, I say, while he's talking, we don't need to see the leaning back. Oh! Anyway. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Well, Deanna says, wasn't the season finale I expected? We still don't know what has our people so divided, but did you see the mean mug everybody gave Michonne? She done pissed some folks off.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm with Faith. What the hell happened? Loved how the new people jumped right in to help earn their keep. Why did somebody have to die in this season finale? It would have shocked me more if everyone survived, be different. The Walking Dead. Has Jesus left us for good? I'm so hoping Todd is right. He will rise. Smiley face, smiley face, smiley face. But the Talking Dead and the scene of the new shiny casket being put in the ground say otherwise. Frowny face, frowny face. So who is going to rise as the new leader of Hilltop? Will it be Tara? And again, where is Oceanside? Love the introduction of the Whisperers. I noticed this is part of a lot of the comic readers have been waiting on, but please don't let this be forever thing, hoping this is not a drawn out fight like that darn Negan-ish was. Do the damn story and move on. Speaking of Negan, he walks out the cell that I think Gabriel left open on purpose because he is tired of Negan's BS and his ingrate attitude. Gabriel, I think, decides he is over trying and to change him. Is Gabriel, I didn't see this future emptying bedpans for somebody wanted dead by the majority.
By the way, that's the IJS, I'm just saying, is what
supposed
to say.
I skipped it.
So. Yeah, that's okay. And we're leaving it in. But
so, just in case Gabriel didn't see this in the future, emptying bedpans for somebody wanted dead by the majority, Morgan forgot to build some proper toilet facilities when he built the jail.
Yeah.
Laughter face, laughter face, laughter face. Negan is free. What is he going to do out there? All his supporters are dead. Will he try and recruit new members? Looking forward to the second half of the season and answers to those burning questions, which we all do. I agree completely. I'm curious.
Yeah, and, you know, spoiler, but we kind of see some look that looks like he's going to head back to Sanctuary, although...
It looks like an abandoned sanctuary that he just goes back to, but what's there? There's nothing.
Yeah. Oceanside, we hear the mention that I guess they're still around because, you know, the one character is like, you know, is that Oceanside really, you know, nothing but women? So, yes, a pubescent teenager with the raging hormones, which Henry seems to have as well, but he's got them all towards Dr. Eden. I don't know. I hate to say it, but I think Jesus is dud. I hate to say it, but I don't know. All right, Clint has a short one. He says, exactly how far did they leave their horses away from where they found Eugene? 1 mile, 5 miles, 10 miles, and why? Indeed. That's like, where did they leave those horses?
Yeah, definitely.
All right, next.
Well, the cat is out of the bag, and people know that the Whisperers are something to deal with, a new enemy that the community's never dealt with before. Makes me think...
Mark.
Yeah?
You missed Glynis's feedback.
Oh, damn, I passed it. We're leaving that in.
Yes, we're leaving that in. We have to see if this is compelling to you, or you'll probably say, Brian, would you please take this crap out?
No. We all make mistakes, and it's a human mistake. So we are podcasting, and this is what we do. All right, so...
We'll do it live!
Yeah, we'll do it live! We'll do it live! All right, so Glynis says, I look forward to hearing, seeing more on what happened in the preceding 6 years that happened between Michonne and the Hilltop and the Kingdom, as the atmosphere was rather icy between Tara, Diane, and Michonne, and lukewarm between Carol and Michonne. So not just bad vibes with Maggie, but that extends to the groups as well, or as a whole, but probably linked to those X's Michonne and Daryl are sporting on their backs. So, yeah, there's something that's going to come out that we have to see. And I'm, like I said before previously, we got to see that in some sort of flashback.
Yeah, better.
She continues on saying, oh, Gabriel, in season 5, episode 16, you left the gate open on, and some walkers then managed to get into Alexandria.
Yeah, I forgot about that, but I couldn't remember specifically that he had done that at some point. I couldn't remember where. Thank you, Glynis, for bringing that out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She says, you know, he managed to do that, which Rick then had dispensed with. Now in season 9, episode 8, you left the jail door unlocked, and now Negan will be on the loose in Alexandria. In both cases, you were distracted. In the first instance, you were questioning your relationship with God, and now your attention and worry is all directed and on wondering about Rosita's well-being. Which is true. I think that's really what was a factor.
You know, it reminds me.
Or maybe it was intentional. Who knows?
I know Kyle, if he was here, and Kyle was going to join us, but he was not feeling well, so he had to miss out. But I think Kyle would say, shut the door. Because it seems like Gabriel doesn't know how to shut doors.
All right. She continues on saying the Hilltop kids keeping a walker in captivity for kicks, which was similar to Alexandria group of Aiden and Nicholas also chaining up the walker and Glenn. Tara, Noah pointing it out that they shouldn't play around with something so dangerous. Season 5, episode 12.
Remember.
Good for Henry killing that walker.
Yeah, that whole scene, it was like it was a mashup of several things that we had seen. The only difference that I could think of is that in The Walking Dead, the teens were mostly drinking and on Fear, they were drinking and smoking up. Yeah. But we didn't see any weed here. So it was so similar to things that we had seen in both shows. And, you know, we got – it was almost like a combo of Remember, because it was, you know, exactly what Aiden and Nicholas did with that one walker. But then we see Ron, and didn't they have an Xbox up in Alexandria or something like that?
Yeah.
I want to say – yeah, which is kind of funny because I just got an Xbox myself. So, and I'm really bad at it. I'm so old school. I can't play with all these new buttons. Anyway. Yeah, so that's it. But thank you so much, Glynis, for your feedback. Lara is last, I believe, of our listeners. She says, first, it's sad to see these characters who were so tight and practically family, and these communities which had a thriving trade system going on at the beginning of the season, so torn apart and fractured. I hope the story behind this is a good one, but right now it's just a bit depressing to see. Indeed, I agree. Secondly, I am so, so heartbroken over the loss of Jesus. This death was almost as shocking and terrible for me as Nick's death in Fear the Walking Dead. I hadn't thought of that, but yeah, that's very true. I think Nick's death was like completely, I know, I did not see coming at all.
Yeah.
That was also an amazing episode that ended in a death that just sucked the life out of me. But I'm bummed that Jesus had so much untapped potential. We never even got to see any backstory on Jesus. Well, you know, he's the Son of God. Anyway, yeah, I mean, and the only thing that we know is his real name is Rovia, which is different than the I thought that in the show, or sorry, in the comic book, he's Paul Monroe, but they didn't want to use Monroe again because that's Deanna,
yeah,
was last name. But they called him Paul Rovia, and I wondered if they gave him the name Rovia because the, like, I know that in, I think it's Liberia, the capital of Liberia is Monrovia.
Hmm.
So they just took off the Mon, and that would. I have to think that was a part of it. Anyway, she says, and just when his character breaks out as a true leader, warrior, and ninja badass, they kill him off? I was so looking forward to the Jesus Aaron ship, and that ship just sunk before it even departed. And then she says, I was going to record this as a voicemail because it was so dang long, but I forgot. So I left this obnoxiously long feedback. That's all right, Lara. We appreciate it either way. So again, for all of you that have been leaving feedback in general, the Showcase Award is yours. Because the way that we structure this podcast, without your feedback, this would be a pretty boring podcast. We'd talk for 5 minutes and then we'd go, well, maybe 10 minutes. But like I said last week, it's like, if we have to change the format a little bit to make it, you know, still possible to get these episodes out, I don't want to start removing feedback because I think that's what a lot of people send their feedback in for, you know? So, We had one more bit of feedback that I didn't include, and that was from Ken from Chicago. He said, for this week's episode, he said, Brian, it's pointless to ask you not to. Punters gonna pun. You've probably been saving the pun for all this moment. All I ask is for the love of Paul Rovio. Don't use the pun to death. No, pun not intended. Well, I don't know. I have used it quite a bit, but I'm trying to temper it a little bit. But anyway, I will probably be, for the most part, retiring this after this, because I don't want to keep referring to it. But anyway, okay. Actually, I didn't read this before we recorded. So, Ken, if I pun this to two extremes, sorry about that. But anyway, Jesus is gone. I agree with even Tom Payne saying that he was a little frustrated with the character. I wasn't frustrated. I just thought that they just didn't use him to the extent that they should have. Anyway, what about our other notes, Mark?
Well, like I was saying before, the cat is out of the bag and people know that the Whisperers are something to be dealt with. It's a new enemy that the community's never dealt with before. Makes me think that they will stray from the comics and possibly the people they took in that caused issues could be, in fact, the people who created the Whisperers after they were overthrown or thrown out of the communities. Maybe that is the backstory we need for the X's on Michonne and Daryl's back. You know, that was just a thought in my head that, because there's a key point in the comics, and this is kind of a spoiler, so if people want to scoot ahead, they can. Basically, there are two people that lead the Whisperers in the comics. You have Alpha and Beta. And Alpha is female. Beta is a very large person. And Beta, at the time when it was exposed, it was somebody who is famous or whatever. I'm thinking within the show, it's possibly that Beta could be somebody that the Alexandrians knew and was kind of a threat to them and did something, was menacing, almost like the wolves. Remember how the wolves were? So that was my theory in that case.
Yeah.
And he was cast out and he found these people and they did their thing. So
Davidson.
that's my theory of what's going on with this and how they could twist it in the show. But, you know, for those who you're back, I kind of gave a little tidbit of my thoughts.
Yeah.
And the next thing would be, the Walking Dead words on the intro are starting to crack now.
I have to admit, I didn't notice that, but I only looked at it the one time on the big screen, and the rest of the time I was either watching it on my phone or on tablet, so I couldn't make that out. But so the stone's cracking?
Yeah, the stone. I saw a little bit of cracking on the actual the words. It still has the green on it, but there's a little bit of cracking.
Interesting. Well, I had given everything that I was going to mention here, except for one thing. I noticed on subsequent watches after the first two, like the 9 o'clock screening and the 11 o'clock screening, I noticed that like on midnight, and then I think it played at like 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock or something. After the replay of Talking Dead, the previously on The Walking Dead, which I noticed was Michonne's voice again this time, they had removed them. So I think they were trying to save some time so that they could squeeze in, you know, more program and just cut those out so that they could fit them in a time slot better. But I noticed that on subsequent watches that previously on was missing. So, all right. Well, we're going to do something a little different this week for news, ratings, and info.
There's a couple weird stories on the news.
So what you're about to hear is something that I'm going to insert tomorrow because ratings were not available, and since we're not going to have an episode for a while, I want to include them. So, unfortunately, because of the Thanksgiving holiday, and we're recording on our normal Tuesday night. Ratings were not available, but thanks to the modern technology known as editing, I will put them in here without any reactions from Mark because he won't be hearing this. But anyway, here they are. Hello, and this is Brian from the future, as promised, with ratings for Season 9, Episode 8, Evolution. The Walking Dead got a 1.96 in the coveted 18 to 49 demographic with 5.089 million viewers. This is up from last week's 1.80 and 4.794 million. So it was up, but it was down from the previous two episodes, season 9, episode 5, the one where Rick died or pseudo died, and season 9, episode 6. You can ascertain or conclude that it was probably due to the fact that it was on Thanksgiving weekend. Usually the ratings dip on that evening, at least a little. So it was good that it was up, but lower than expected. But I wouldn't be surprised if things recover in the Live Plus 3 and the Live Plus 7, provided that I can actually find those. As I've mentioned before, it has been difficult to get the Live Plus 3 and the Live Plus 7. Talking Dead was improved over last week. It got a 0.81 in the 18 to 49 with 2.294 million viewers, and that's up from 0.77 and 2.089 million last week. So that's it from the future and back to the present / my past. I don't have any additional info about this episode, but I do have a bit of news, and it's not specific to The Walking Dead, but it is post-apocalypse, and it is from Mark's cousin.
Really? Come on.
Anyway, Robert Kirkman has a new apocalyptic tale taking shape. Apparently, Skybound Entertainment and Entertainment E1, or Entertainment One, which is also called E1, have signed an agreement to produce a something called 5 Year, an international series chronicling the final 5 years before a fatal meteor ends the Earth.
Hmm.
Per the project's official description from an original idea from Robert Kirkman, 5 years different series will focus on how people across the globe will choose to live after learning the world will end in the next 5 years as a meteor rushes towards Earth. Each year will play out as a season, and while each version will have its own unique characters and stories, they will all follow the same timeline. Each version of 5 Year will be a localized story set in the market's actual location and produced in local languages. Oh, this is interesting.
Cool.
Yeah, so I don't know. Apparently, E1 and Skybound will co-produce the series, with E1 serving as financier and distributor. The new Skybound and E1 partnership includes the previously announced 5 Year series set in Latin America, with producers Mixer and 360 Powwow, and in Korea with streaming service Viki, and also covers installments of the series now in the works in Italy, Germany, Russia, China, the UK, and more. And it's Kirkman, David Alpert, Brian First, and Sean First will executive produce the project for Skybound. This is one of the most ambitious projects we've worked on and also one of the most rewarding. Our work with all our partners around the globe continues to inspire our vision for this series and our commitment and passion for global storytelling. 5 Year is a fundamentally human story meant to explore humanity's capacity for good and evil in the face of the ultimate threat. E1 is a world-class producer and distributor of television, and they share our vision and ambition for this huge undertaking. We are very happy to have them as our partner. And that was from Brian and Sean, first in a joint statement. Yeah, so I wonder how we're going to see this in the U.S. I don't know about E1, but it sounds like they're not a network. They're more of a it says that they're a distributor, so
probably an online thing.
I don't know, but yeah, I mean, it sounds really interesting, and for that, I have to say, to me, like, this is something that AMC could be doing to extend the Walking Dead universe, like kind of have like an anthology series where you would have, you know, kind of like the Twilight Zone, but in the zombie apocalypse, and you could do all sorts of different stories in that. So there's my free idea, but I do expect to get paid Skybound. Anyway, seriously though, like some kind of anthology I think would be really good for The Walking Dead. But it sounds really interesting. I hadn't actually seen anything about this one until just before we went to record it. So, in fact, I had, truth be told, I hadn't seen it until about 5 minutes before I mentioned it. So, anyway, so that sounds really good. All right, so that's it for our news and feedback and whatnot for this week. Mark, tell the people how to interact with us.
Well, we always want you to encourage everybody to follow us on Twitter. So you can find us on Twitter at Walking Dead GSM. And to submit your feedbacks and theories, most people post in our designated episode thread and our Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/WalkingDeadGSM. We'd like to encourage you to use our email address, WalkingDeadGSM@gmail.com. The feedback form at GoldenSpiralMedia.com/feedback is now functioning again, so you can send text or audio there. You can find our SpeakPipe widget or call 304-837-2278. The deadline for next episode is Tuesday, February 12th, 2019, at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Central. The best way you could support us is by subscribing to us in Apple Podcast, goldenspiralmedia.com/apple. While you're there, please give us a review. Find out all other ways to support GSM at goldenspiralmedia.com/support.
And I didn't specifically mention it, but the next episode was going to be on February 10th. So, and that's exactly what I thought it was going to be, because I actually had it in the notes prior to them announcing it, that I figured it was going to be the week after the Super Bowl, which was going to be on February 3rd. And sure enough, that's exactly when it was announced. So that didn't surprise me a bit, but follow up for last week, I had mentioned about, you know, how we were going to have to change things, and this is kind of a dry run. Hopefully things went out okay. But I, just so we know now, there will be 3 weeks of Star Trek Discovery before The Walking Dead returns, with it coming back in kind of the fourth week of Star Trek Discovery, and then there'll be 2 weeks of Star Trek Discovery after The Walking Dead ends, but we are, unless they follow a different schedule, we know that usually Fear comes back right after The Walking Dead, so we assume that it's going to go straight in. So, I don't know. Just hopefully, you know, a combination of, you know, hopefully, you know, Mark will maybe be able to edit a little bit of these, and Kyle and myself, I won't go completely insane, but yeah, I just gotta temper ourselves and like I say, we'll try to be succinct and try to not go off the rails too much. And we're just going to edit less. So hopefully we won't be too bad. It won't be. I think we're getting tighter as we talk. We're not rambling so much. But sometimes in the rambling, there's comedy gold. So, you know.
We have to have fun with it. Come on. It's
exactly.
Live. Exactly. We'll do it live.
No, we'll do it live. F*** it.
So anyway, I was, as far as where else you can listen to us, I was on the Minnesota Star Trek Nerd podcast this past Friday. I mentioned it last week, but the episode where we discussed the last Next Generation movie, Star Trek Nemesis, came out. I think it turned out really well. And I did get some feedback on that it turned out really well. So if you're clamoring for another episode of the Star Trek Discovery podcast and you want to hear me, you can listen to that while you're waiting for us to release. Now, what I'm going to do is, after we get this episode out, we're probably going to, you know, I'm going to take a week off. And then on December 6th, the third short track will be released, and that is titled The Brightest Star. That is with the character of Saru. So we will do our roundtable covering the first three of the short tracks, and then all the other stuff. Did you notice, by the way, the commercial for Star Trek Discovery during The Walking Dead this week?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty good, too.
Yeah, it looked good.
Yeah. Have you had a chance to watch it yet?
I will be watching, trust me. Now that we have a break, I could actually do that.
Yeah, Blu-ray is out as well. So I've actually, you know, a lot of people were waiting for the Blu-ray, and now that they've had a chance to pick it up, there's a lot more people that seem to be into it now. And, you know, maybe they will decide, hey, I don't want to wait, you know, like a year for Blu-ray to come out. Because I don't know. I think it's a fantastic show, and I think season two is going to be even better. Because I think they will shed a lot of the dark part of, you know, last season, which was, you know, centered around a war. I think it's going to be a lot more like, you know, the Star Trek that we grew up to love, but in more serialized format. So I think it's great. The production values are phenomenal. Of course, if you loved Sinequa Martin Green in The Walking Dead, you will absolutely adore her in Star Trek Discovery, as you could tell from my reaction to her showing up a few episodes back. But anyway, so we will probably have an episode out in about 2 weeks. So listen for it. We'll post about it on our Facebook group, both there. And I should mention, so we need a lot more listeners on that Facebook group. It is facebook.com/group/Star Trek Discovery podcast. I would ask, if you listen to that podcast, please join our Facebook group. It is a small but active Facebook group on there, and I want to see a lot more people join it. So,
yeah.
Mark, how is Panels to Pixels going?
Well, me and Steve will be starting up again this coming Saturday, so we'll be jumping into Defenders. We're doing episodes 1 and 2. So if anybody out there that is interested in sending feedback, send it to Panels to Pixels on Facebook. And we'll actually read your feedback if you want to. I'll be posting something up soon on Facebook so that people could just post their comments based upon the first two episodes, and we'll read them. Right now, that's in the works. Everything else has already been uploaded, and this coming Saturday is going to be a new venture, and we're starting fresh anew, and a new episode every week.
Oh, that's great. So No more binging. You will be weekly.
Yeah, weekly.
Now, I want to ask, it's not on the notes, but I know you and Steve are going to be at Walker Stalker Con, New York, New Jersey, coming Correct. Soon. When is that?
That will be the following weekend. And he's coming here, and I'm hoping we could actually do something live so that we could draw a new crowd or get our crowd interested in coming in and listening to us more. And yeah. Maybe we could actually do some promos.
And it would be cool if, you know, if any listeners are going to be at that Walker Stalker Con, you can meet up with Mark. And, you know, if there's enough of you. Yeah, and Steve. And if enough of you meet up, maybe I'll get on and do a Skype or something to say hello to everybody. But because I won't be there, unfortunately.
Yeah, we'll be there. So if anybody hears my voice, knows my voice, or even Steve's, just come on up to us to say hi.
Yeah, look for the odd-looking man with the shaved head.
And a goatee now. I have a goatee.
Ah, so. Yeah. All right, so next episode we know is Season 9, Episode 9. We don't know who has written or directed it. And we don't have a description. We only know that it is airing February 10th. So until then, we will probably be back at some point during the year, because as I've said to Mark, I really want to get this to episode 100, because it's been a sore point to me that, you know, because we numbered them differently, we've been like well over 100 episodes between the two of Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through and the Walking Dead Talk Through, yet no one ever acknowledges this. So I want to get this to number 100, so before the end of the season. So we'll probably do an episode somewhere in there during the break or just before we come back. Probably won't be a long one, but we'll probably do something.
Probably so, do all the preview stuff. We could actually do that.
Yeah.
Because there's going to be a lot of previews in between now and the time that the actual show comes back on.
Yeah.
And we'd speculate all we want.
All we want. All right. So until next time, I'm Brian.
And I'm Mark.
This is The Walking Dead Talk Through. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.